TV Corner.
Hey guys, welcome to another Film Corps TV Corner Game of Thrones podcast, Season 6, Episode 10, The Winds of Winter. So we got the awesome season finale. I've got Greg and TJ here again.
Hey.
Hello.
All right, guys, let's just get right into it. Let's start with the green elephant in the room, the trial at King's Landing. I think a lot of us kind of predicted something like this might happen. The ultimate checkmate, played by Cersei.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of like a badly kept secret that the wildfire was going to make a return. But, you know, like, I didn't think it was going to happen in the first 10 minutes of the show. And actually, I kind of thought it was going to be something that was going to be sort of like a ticking time bomb for the whole episode.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, but at the same time, like, after it happened, really thinking about the show, like, in all the pieces that are happening right now and sort of the way it's been cleaning up all its various storylines, I mean, it was perfect. And I totally should have seen it
Absolutely.
Coming, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely loved the opening. I liked how it was just, you know, just the music, just everyone getting ready for the trial itself. And I honestly, I thought the only one, like, issue I had with it is, like, I don't know why everyone wouldn't have left together. Like, I don't see why that was permitted. Like, if someone's on trial, you don't let them just show up whenever they mm-hmm. choose to. Especially, I would have thought that Tommen would have definitely have gone with Margaery, but...
It worked out a little cleanly, but I feel like maybe, you know, Cersei had played possum enough.
She's been pretty inert all season, you know, where...
It's also like, I mean, it's a crazy fucking move. Like, if you're battling with someone, you don't think they're going to go to the nuclear option right away, right? Like, you figure... And actually, you know, in Cersei's defense, she doesn't, right? She approaches... Lady Olenna first, and she's trying to sort of she's trying to play it the old way, and Olenna tells her, like, no, fuck off, this is your mess, you're gonna live with it now. And so Cersei goes you know, she goes nuclear, she just blows it all up.
That was really the only one
I knew the wildfire was gonna make its appearance, and you knew it was happening, but, you know, part of me was just hoping she was gonna slime everybody. And everybody's just going to be super embarrassed, and Cersei wins that way. But no, she killed everybody instead. It's pretty intense.
I'm always watching the show, thinking about, as a storyteller, what are these guys like? What kind of masters do they have to serve, right? And so obviously you're not going to kill Tyrion. You if you kill Jon, you're going to bring him back. You know, there's like these certain tropes that you kind of sort of have to stick with, especially given that the show has become so good at surprising viewers. But then, like, why it's awesome is when you think back to a lot of characters who you thought were important, the real trick is that they never were, right? It was like this sort of this like fan inertia, you know,
yeah,
like, that sort
true.
Of took us to, right? Like Robb Stark, I mean, like, he's not really important. He's kind of a pretty boy for the whole time. I mean, he doesn't really say anything interesting. He's not really an interesting dude, but we like him, and so we kind of go with it. And then when he's killed, it's this realization, like, oh, he's not actually important to the story. And it's been, like, I suppose it's the same thing with Margaery, where all her little manipulations, all these things, like the setup with her telling Lady Olenna to leave, I think I thought she was going to take sort of the role that the Sand Snakes did. And maybe she's going to team up with Daenerys, but... Actually, I mean, that's not Margaery at all, right? She's never been like that. She's always been an opportunist. In fact, she's probably been the closest to a Cersei copy that we've had. So it kind of makes sense for her to be eliminated.
Yeah, but like even to that end, like she's been with us since season two, you know? We've been watching her climb the ladder since season two. Like maybe she's not really all that important, but we've also grown this. I mean, she's kind of fluctuated. And how that in her, in the way fans have seen her, you know, she's kind of dark, but at the same time, you're still rooting for her. And her house, you know, is a really important house. I mean, they've financed the Iron Throne for how many seasons now? You know, I mean, this was a huge move. I mean, she may not have been important herself,
but that
house is done now, and that
Actually, yeah, that's well, I mean, there's probably other cousins, like, other lower Tyrells who would take over, like a random cousin who's technically next. But that's a great point. I mean, the crown was definitely depending on Tyrell money. And at this point, the Lannisters don't have any money, so I don't know what. I mean, they can tax King's Landing, but we all know that the crown is in a great deal of debt. So who
Right,
knows?
but I
We're
mean,
basically going to have a Lion
but like,
King
wait.
Scar ruining Pride Rock moment basically next season.
Yeah, totally, totally. But I mean, like, even that, right? I mean, how silly does it feel to sort of think about King's Landing as a focal point of the show anymore? When you see Daenerys' armies coming, when you know the story now behind Jon's background, and that it's like there's such a grander story being told here that who's funding the Iron Throne seems kind of absurd to worry about, you know? So, I mean, and in fact, like that last scene of Cersei, was it crowned the queen?
Her Darth Vader
I
moment.
mean, to her Darth Vader moment. I mean, they made a lot of black,
Yeah,
like armor very quickly.
that's the darkest I've seen the
Yeah.
throne room. Like, it's never
But,
been that dark. It was very dark in that throne room.
yeah, but to me, like that scene, that whole story arc, I think only really makes sense as Jamie's story. You know, it doesn't, like, there's no way she's gonna keep Daenerys' army at bay. I mean, maybe for a little bit, but we know that, I mean, we know where
Oh
this is
yeah,
going, right?
Jamie
Yeah, we
sees the
know where this
Mad
is
King
going.
in her.
Daenerys is gonna take over. She's gonna team up with Jon, most likely, Knights, Night's King battle. So, like, what's the purpose of doing this with Cersei? And the only thing I can think of is, well, it's gonna bring probably a very tragic end to Jamie's storyline.
Yeah, and speaking of tragic endings, Tommen's swan dive off the balcony was so
So perfect.
unexpected,
So
so
perfect.
sad. Just like the way he did it wasn't even like a rush. Like he's just like, oh God, it was
Yeah.
just.
It was like more of like his whole legacy right there, like his wife's dead, his whole like thing he was trying to do with the Sept, you know, make this new righteous kingdom out of it. Like, it was all over in one moment, and it was so obvious that it was done by his own mother that he just, I mean, I guess, you know, he couldn't handle it.
I think it was also, yeah, that I mean, just also just the idea that this evil in this world cannot be escaped. Like something that terrible can happen. I mean, and not only were like, Tyrells and like the faith killed, but even like innocent people who just lived around them. Like a lot of people just died for the sake of Cersei not wanting to face
You saw that one guy
consequences.
just get crushed by the bell. Like, that was just innocent bystander.
God, what are the
Right.
odds? That one guy, that one time he goes outside to go get milk.
What do you guys
That's what
think?
happens when you go to the grocery store
His
early.
what do you guys think of the kids?
Yeah.
Like, the way they were used in
The
all this.
all the
The
little
little
birds to
birds.
stab
That's
Pycelle.
pretty cool.
I was like, you
That's
only
pretty
need one
cool.
good stab. They know that, right? Like I
Yeah, he was
didn't really think
pretty
you
old.
needed to have
He got
like
stabbed at least 30 times on
on
camera. Yeah.
camera. Well, but I mean, but that scene comes after another one of his scenes where he's been with a prostitute in his room, and so you get the sense of like this guy I don't know if it's like I kind of I was down with the stabbing. He's been around for a
Oh no,
long, long
yeah, I wasn't
time.
saying I was against it at all. I just didn't expect them to be
I
so
just thought it was
zealous
interesting.
in their.
Varys, like, what, 2 episodes earlier, 3 episodes earlier, saying how innocent the kids were, the children, the children are innocent, and then this comes right at the end of the right at the end of the
Yeah,
season.
exactly. Yeah.
Like, those were his little birds, weren't they? Those were
Well, that's
Varys's little birds.
And then Qyburn sort of, corrupts them, or at least allows their worst instincts to come out. But I mean, just getting back to Tommen, to me, that's like the most intelligent thing Tommen could do, because he's looking at this situation, and I mean, he's king of nothing, effectively. There's like what is this world that they're part of now? And the fact that he dies, I mean, and that we lose really the last humanizing aspect of Cersei is even more proof to me that she's gonna go down and it's gonna be Jaime who kills her, because he, like Tommen, sort of sees that
He gets the double title.
this is not worth it.
Queenslayer,
Yeah, that's a great
Queenslayer,
point.
Kingslayer.
I mean, like as all of Cersei's children die, it kind of represents a further step into darkness. Like right, when Marcella dies, it's like right after her walk. So like parts of her just continually, you know, the good parts of her just becoming erased, and that's now she's complete monster.
And, you know, and it's like really uninteresting to have a character who just wants power for the sake of power. You know, like there's nothing we can build off of that. So, you know, given that like they have no allies outside the city wall, there's a huge army coming at them. I think we're like ripe for a situation where Cersei decides destroy it all, you know, burn the rest of the city down, and Jaime in this bizarre playback of what he had to do 30 years ago ends up doing the exact same thing and stopping it from destroying the city. I mean, that's my prediction. I think we're heading there. I mean, I don't
Yeah,
think
I
there's a
can't
lot to
argue with
suggest
that.
otherwise.
That seems pretty like the way he just looked at her on the throne, the way they looked at each other, there's definitely gonna be a clash.
Yeah, he's there's like real fear on his like in his eyes, like fear, and also you know, the kind of way that you can only look at a sibling when you know that they're being kind of gross.
What did you guys think about Cersei's wine boarding slash the Sir Robert Strong coming in to torture that nun? That was some
That whole
dark.
speech was
Oh my
very like,
God.
I feel like that was a long time coming, just her saying all these things that she does and just doing them because it feels good. Yeah, because she wants to. You know, I feel like that was just her entire character in one speech, and I thought it was awesome. And I thought it was pretty dark and cruel what they were gonna end up doing. I don't know what Robert like was he doing, just like crushing her bones one by one? I have no idea what his specialty would be in a torture situation.
I just assumed it'd be like, I mean, because he's a famous
Oh.
rapist,
Yeah,
right?
but he's like a
So,
zombie. You think that's like
just
a thing still? Like, rape is at the forefront of your mind? I feel like he'd just be like bloodthirsty. I don't know. Well, who knows? Maybe he'll make her like a Frank, you know, like a Mrs. Robert Strong.
Frankenstein's bride.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. No, I figured Qyburn.
Qyburn.
Yeah,
Oh,
Qyburn. I feel like he would
Qyburn.
be more the person for that job, but maybe Robert Strong is like, maybe she just wants pain more than stretching it out. I don't know. Seems like a combination of both, but he seemed like the guy that would be the perk for that job.
I feel like he'd be the one to accidentally kill her like instantly. Like, oh, he's like George from Mice and Men.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
crushes her by accident when he's trying to
Yeah.
hug her.
Speaking of crushing it, we got Sam just got to Old Town and some nice dry humor, which we needed after what the horrors of King's Landing. Hopefully that storyline moves super quickly because you don't become a maester overnight. It's like a 10-year thing at least. So I hope that while he's in the library, he's just really quickly getting the book he needs on White Walkers and calling it a
Yeah,
day.
that was a real Beauty and the Beast moment where, you know, he's in heaven with all these chained up books. They don't even let you check them out. It's not really a library, you know, you just come in and study.
What do you think Gilly's gonna do in the lobby? Like, I mean, like that's why it really annoyed me that she even went along. Like, there's nothing she can even do over
Right.
there.
No women and children.
Well, I mean, okay, so he's gonna find something out there, right? He's kind of a big boy. He probably doesn't move around too fast, you know. Gilly seems a little bit more swift on her feet. Probably can ride a horse a little bit faster. You know, maybe she'll be helpful in that sense, in spreading the word or getting the pertinent information out to,
Yeah.
you know, whoever needs
Yeah,
it.
it's really only gonna
Good
take
point.
a few good facts that they need to beat the walkers, you know. Like there's gotta be some gem.
Well, also, like, give her a fucking break. She, you know, spent half her life getting raped by her father husband. And, you know, outside of the, like, now she's in this amazing, amazing city where she looks like she can have some peace, where they, it's like the New York City of Westeros. So she's gonna get some entertainment in the evenings, maybe get a babysitter. I mean, just chill out, all right? Just let her and Sam will
Let him
read
live. All
and, you
right,
know.
All right, I'll let Gilly have a vacation, okay? Whoa.
Yeah.
Speaking of vacations, though not really the opposite because it's freezing, let's go into Winterfell. Basically, wrapping everything up, Jon and Sansa have a heart to heart. Jon's like, "Why didn't you tell me about Littlefinger?" And then basically, all the Northerners are like, "We're down with Jon." I really have no patience for this whole Littlefinger wanting to be in power thing with Sansa. I mean, I understand we need some more drama in the North because they're probably not going to get like the Whites just yet next season. But at the same time, like you've always been saying, Greg, it's kind of like it's seems so minuscule in the grand scheme of like what's happening, especially in the North.
Yeah, I think she outmaneuvers him like 5 episodes in to next season, and
yeah, I think that's what we discussed last time. I think Littlefinger's, I think that prediction still stands. And, Littlefinger's, yeah. He's cashing out early next season.
All right, and we also get our confirmation of Lyanna, Rhaegar equals Jon.
Well, okay, have you guys heard? The other, okay, so in the scene, even though Bran should be able to hear everything,
the sound goes out, and you don't hear
what Lyanna, what Lyanna whispers to Ned, and so people are not completely satisfied that it is Rhaegar, and so a alternative theory is that Lyanna was actually raped by Aerys, the Mad King. Either way, that makes him a Targaryen, but would actually make him Daenerys' half-brother rather than her nephew, if that is the case.
Well, I mean, if that were the case, well, how much of a difference would that make?
It would, yeah, I mean, from like a storytelling perspective, it makes him like a child of rape and hate, and you know, rather than like a child of true love, for one thing. And then secondly, as her half brother, I think it complicates things as far as his claim to the throne or her claim to the throne from the on the Targaryen side. Rather than, you know, if he's her nephew, then it's a bit cleaner. Also, if they're gonna fuck, it's a little bit cleaner to have it her with her half nephew rather than her. That's with all her true. Yes.
I mean, that's assuming that the whole like I've heard a theory that some people feel like Dany's gonna get to Westeros and not want to rule, so that it might just go to Jon anyway. I mean, honestly, I mean Targaryens have been like marrying their brothers for a long time, so I don't think anyone would even care as much if we found out.
But is there anyone who even knows at this point, other than, you know, Three-Eyed Raven?
Well, the Reeds would possibly.
Helen Reed. Yeah. Helen Reed is probably going to be a bigger character. This is going to be, I think, like our almost like literal Yoda, you know, because he'll be in the, panic in the swamps, right. And they're going to come to him, and you know, Bran is going to get maybe the lowdown on his visions.
I'm actually really not stoked for this whole like us screaming at the TV, being like, "But you're a Targaryen all the time." Because it's going to take like probably another 4 episodes before Jon finds out. So it's probably going to be a few frustrating moments where we're just like, somebody tell him already, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, he's king in the North, you know? Maybe he just wants to be king in the North. And then Dany can have everything in the South or you know, fealty from him.
Well, he doesn't even, he's the most unenthusiastic leader. Right? Like he never wanted to be the
commander.
Was it the commander of the wall? He didn't really want to be. He doesn't even want to sleep in his parents' room in Winterfell because he feels like it's not his. You know, it's. I feel like if you're gonna, I mean, he's making it so easy for Sansa to be like, you know, okay, like let's do this together, or you be the guy. It's fine. It's not like he is. If anything, I think, if, you know, Dany comes there, I think he will be more than happy to say, okay, the North is with you, and be a good ruler, be a good aunt to me, whatever. let's just do the right thing and kill these White Walkers.
I mean, yeah, that's true. But I mean, I think that's always like a good trait in a good leader, is that they're willing to do the things the leader needs to get done, but don't necessarily want the glory of it. Like, he doesn't want power for the sake of power. He just says, okay, here's a job, let me do it. And then
he has the people now. What'd you think of that joke for the fans? Winter is here. I thought that was great.
As I started snickering, I was like, wait, did they do this on purpose? And they laughed. Yeah. Like, thank you.
It was great. I love that. That was a good moment for me.
I think, you know, like the kind of the bigger thing surrounding all these different storylines to me is, I think the big surprise is going to be that we're not going to be surprised really too much going forward. And frankly, I think that's okay after 6 seasons or, you know, 7 seasons.
Yeah, I mean,
like I feel pretty good about a lot of these things. Like, I don't think there's going to be another Red Wedding. I don't think anyone else is getting offed who isn't seem to be already heading there, you know. There might be some like secondary character, this battle between Cersei and Daenerys is going to have to happen, and I'm sure there's going to be collateral damage and certain people that we wouldn't want to die who do, maybe, like, but I'm thinking more of like a Bronn, you know, something like that, who sort of is a fan favorite but isn't necessarily
Podrick.
Important. Or Podrick, yeah, Podrick would be a sad one, you know.
Speaking of on like things we weren't surprised about, we definitely called the whole Melisandre being banned thing. I mean, I called it dead on. I was like, "There, it's John doesn't want to deal with this. He's just gonna send her away."
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I was my prediction was that I think that he wouldn't care. But that was, like, clearly wrong. Like, yeah, just send her away.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I suppose she teams up with Brotherhood Without Banners. That seems to be the cleanest.
Back to her hometown, yeah.
Way to go. And then they're going to play some role. That's pretty clear. Based on that episode with the Hound, they're gearing up to join the bigger
fight.
Do
you think we're going to get our Lady Stoneheart?
I think she probably takes that the mantle of that, you know, position, basically. I think what's cool about sort of how the Starks have come back is that it's not the makeup of the Starks. Arya comes back as basically an assassin. Sansa comes back as a very shrewd manipulator. Jon becomes Jon, the guy who never wanted to be the king, becomes the king. And Bran takes this sort of metaphysical place. I mean, he's almost like a priest, right? He's like he's like religious now. So, you know, when you think of that compared to like what we were led to believe was going to be the case, Rob and Theon by his side, John stuck up at the wall, the girls just basically really trying to survive. I mean, and in the best case scenario, getting married off to someone who's going to help them. Like it's a pretty cool turn of fortune, you know.
They're pretty big players now. That is pretty great.
Yeah, and they're battle tested, and they've been
I mean,
they've been broken and rebuilt all in their own way.
Well, speaking of people getting into their roles, I don't really know how I was going to segue that one. Lady Olenna.
speaking of
Lady Olenna shows up in Dorne. I think, Greg, you also mentioned this a few podcasts ago about how, like, we had this crazy Dorne buildup with all this, you know, secret assassination of the prince and then weeks of nothing. So it's kind of hard to really get back into what's going on now in Dorne. But clearly we see that Varys is trying to get them to support Dany's return.
Well, in the last shot, I don't know if you noticed, but when we see all the boats, part of them have the Sunspear emblem. So they've already signed on, given part of their navy.
Oh, I actually missed that. I saw like the Targaryen and like the Greyjoy, but I didn't notice the.
Yeah. There's the Sunspear, and then there's the the Tyrell one. I forget what.
Oh, the Rose.
Is it a tree?
The Rose.
Or is it the Rose? The Rose. Yeah. So they're committed. I mean, that whole Dorne subplot, honestly, it would have worked even if they had kept. Prince Martell,
he was trying to make too much peace with the Lannisters, and the Lannisters are on the throne.
Well, yeah. I think they felt that like if he had stayed in power, he wouldn't have wanted to help Dany because he would have been a Lannister sympathizer. But I mean, to your point, Greg, I think that honestly, given the circumstances, he might have switched sides anyway.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, so like in the books, he does, right? In the books, he's planning this secret. He actually sends one of his sons to go and try and marry Daenerys and bring their. And also, like, if you remember, I mean, before Robert's Rebellion, Dorne is allied with the Targaryens. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, it's a bit clean the way they did it, but at this point, like, kind of who cares?
Right? Yeah, it's time for fighting.
So, yeah, Dany breaks up with her boo. Wasn't really that. Honestly, Dario Naharis just, like, annoyed me. I wish this happened weeks ago. And Tyrion becomes Hand again.
That was awesome. That was a great scene.
In a movement he believes in, you could see it. Like, this was something that meant a lot to him.
Arya finally gets her sweet revenge. Walder Frey feeds him his own kin.
Sons.
Yeah, kids, cousins, other wives, question mark. I also thought that was way too clean. Like, how'd she kill all of them? Find time to bake them.
Yeah, that was one of those scenes where you don't want to think too long about it because it starts to unravel super quick.
I don't know if you guys ever watched South Park, but it reminds me of Scott Timmerman.
Oh yeah,
except minus Radiohead.
Yeah. But I mean, like, so with him gone, the Freys are probably gonna start fighting amongst themselves. The Lannisters really have nobody around them.
I mean,
so how'd you guys like the
that
scene
was what
with
I was
Jamie
gonna say. That was
and,
I thought that was a great scene. I thought that would like just the, you know, he doesn't want to be compared to this guy, and then Walder Frey's just making all drawing all these little lines between them, and you know, trying to make them seem like they're two of the same sad stories or victory stories or whatever, I don't know, but like I thought it was great just to see Jamie like, okay, yeah, this isn't me. I think this kind of leads into Jamie becoming a better character later on.
Well, I don't, you know, I don't think he is. And one of the episodes, I was debating with Curtis about it because I took his whole speech to Edmure to be pure posturing, purely being like, I need to get this thing done, and I'm gonna scare this guy, however I can. If that means threatening to put his baby in a catapult, that's what I'll do. But I never actually thought that like bad Jamie was back. You know, I just took it to be like he wants a very simple life right now, which is to be with his sister in King's Landing, and at the time with his one child, who's the king. And I'm more certain of that now, especially after that scene with Walder and Jamie's return to King's Landing. And I think what I really like about it, and it's not just true of Jamie, but every character, kind of like the fan favorite characters, is everyone is effectively realizing the true person that they are or that they've always been. So, you know, Jamie is loyal to goodness, effectively, right? Like that's actually what he thinks he's willing to do everything for Cersei, but we'll see, right? We'll see what happens when Daenerys' army is at the gates and Cersei is threatening to blow up King's Landing. Tyrion has always been a cynic, but as we know, you know, cynics are secretly sort of the biggest believers who've been kind of hurt too many times. The Hound has always, you know, there's always been suggestions of him actually being on the side of goodness, like going way back to when he saves Loras from the mountain during one of their jousting matches. And he sort of steps in, you know what I mean? Like, or his speech to Sansa to get out to save herself. So I really, I mean, I feel like I'm done with surprises. I don't want any more surprises. I want to see these people having a chance to really be themselves, and sort of like earn or sort of reap what they've earned, you know, over like 6 seasons of finding themselves.
That's a great point. I think yeah, everyone's really just becoming who they're meant to be. Even like John, who's been fighting it, is becoming who he's meant to be.
Totally. Yeah, he's always been against taking it and like a mantle of leadership, partly because he feels like he's a bastard and he without the name, he's not worthy of it. But yeah, I know. I mean, are there any other characters you guys can think of that sort of like we liked in spite of how they acted because we knew that they were actually something else or that they were better than the way they seemed.
Well, you know, maybe some people can argue Theon is taking the long way around, becoming the person he
Forced
should
into
be.
it.
You know, before he, yeah, I mean, before he was definitely like a cocky bastard. Then he became like a broken weakling. Now he's sort of building his way back up to a more honorable path. And though he ultimately might have to end, you know, his life in sacrifice, it's still gonna take, you know, take him to where the kind of person he should have been. You
Totally.
know?
Yeah, Theon's a good one, and he probably had the worst path at getting there. I mean, as much as like Tyrion had a lot of near death moments, I think Theon takes the crown. I want to just real quick, because I've always been on the side, as you guys remember, of the High Sparrow. Now that it's played out the way it has, where do you guys stand on that? Because let me tell you something. You know who would never have blown up half the city like that? The High Sparrow.
Oh my
No, yeah.
Honestly, go ahead, Greg. I mean, go ahead,
Was gonna
TJ.
say, as much as I want to say, like, I mean, obviously, Cersei is definitely the villain, clearly the villain here. But the Sparrow, even to the end, I mean, I don't know. I guess I was waiting to see more from him, but now that it's over. Yeah, he was probably a good guy. I didn't see enough of, from him to say that, to cast doubt on his character as, you know, being disingenuous or being power hungry. You know what I mean? Like, even to the
Well, you know what really sold it to me though? the fact that when Marjorie is telling him something's wrong, he's still like, no, nothing's wrong. Like,
he just got caught.
I think that's just him underestimating Cersei.
I think a better manipulator would have smelled something out there.
No, you know, I think that honestly, he was a good manipulator. Let's not act like he wasn't. He's the one who pulled that whole, we're not going to have a trial by combat thing. Like, he knows what he's doing. Honestly,
which is good for society, which is, by the way,
he got played. He was real smug, thinking like, I just won everything, you know, game over. Like, woke up super chill that morning, thinking,
put on his best rags.
I think, yeah, I just think that, like, you know, he got outmaneuvered. He got soft.
Mm-hmm.
He got lazy. Too confident.
He underestimated Cersei.
Here we are. I don't think, honestly, that's the one thing that I don't like about the fact that he just died is, in a way, we kind of didn't get to see. We get too much ambiguity with him. A lot of people still maybe thought that he was just power hungry and didn't know if he was genuine in his beliefs. And we'll never know.
I think he believed in what he was doing. And, you know, like it or not, you get some sort of integrity with him. I mean, again, it goes back to, like, the, you know, taking the nuclear option, like, only 1 in 1,000 people are going to do that, right? So.
Well, let's go into who we think's having the best week and who's having the worst week.
It's got to be Jon, right? Best week? Jon or Daenerys?
I was going to say Cersei's obviously having the best
Tommen's
week. But
Tommen's dead.
Well, actually, you know what? Tommen's dead. That's true. Dang. So close. She was so close to having the best week, too.
But she knew it was coming. Like, right, she never, I mean, she tried to protect him, but she knew that, you know,
the prophecy
gonna be fulfilled,
yeah,
either way. But yeah, I would say John for sure is having the best week.
All right, take mine back. Arya's having the best week. Just got back to Westeros, first kill down, without a hitch, you know.
Just completely without a hitch. It was insane how clean that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely John, best week.
Okay, So all John, what about, okay, so worst week?
Whoever lives in King's Landing right now is about to have the worst fucking week.
The bread maker in Flea Bottom? Yeah,
it was a...
Or actually, Lady Olenna might be having, like, the worst week. Well, she's now backing Dany, but she's having the worst week. She's, like, the only main Tyrell left.
Yeah, so I guess her family's kind of done there, right? I mean, they're going to, once she dies off,
no, I mean,
there won't be anyone
random
to...
Random cousin. That's just all that's going to happen.
Right, okay. Okay. Or maybe Sam. Maybe Sam for best, now that I think about
him
it.
That,
I'm looking back.
Him in that candy store? Yeah.
honestly, maybe Gilly's having the best week ever.
She already had her best week.
Yeah.
It's true. All right, guys. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, when you consider where everyone started to this past episode, you know, Sam was like a real terrified, just like sad, bumbling fat kid, you know, out of the wall, and now he is finally where he should be, which is as a scholar teaching others. You know, I don't know. That's quite the journey too. He didn't come back from being dead, but you know, it's like.
Well, question: Couldn't Sam have always just become a maester? Like, instead of going to the wall, could he just went to the Citadel? Went to Old Town and just became a maester?
I think you have to be nominated.
Yeah, that's weird,
right?
It seems like Tarly thinks it's beneath them.
I don't know. I can't remember the rules for getting in, but I feel like he's from a noble house. I mean, I don't know why they'd say no.
Yeah, do you have to get nominated for a position as maester? Like, are there just extra maesters? Or do you have to live at the Citadel until you're needed somewhere? I don't know how that works.
Every family, like, noble house has a maester. I mean, I don't see why like, there's no reason to not want to have maesters around. Like, they're all educated. They all do things. I mean, like, it just would behoove everyone for there to be more maesters in the world.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
They seemed kind of selective when he got there, though.
All right. Yeah, it was a fun scene for, like, a very dark episode.
And the Citadel's gorgeous. Like, I'm excited to see more of that. Just, like, that land. You know what I mean?
All right. Do you guys have any last minute predictions for next season?
No, I think Cersei, just being like, I think she's not going to want to rule long. Like, she's made it to the Iron Throne, like, but I think that's part of Greg's prediction, right? I don't know.
Oh, well, you know, I'll add one thing. I think Euron pivots, and maybe we get a Mad King, Mad Queen
Ooh, that is
Ooh.
Good
combo. between the two of them, because she needs somebody, right? And at least
She's not gonna get with Jamie?
That gives us a little bit
Jamie's not
more
gonna
of
go with
a.
her.
Well, I don't
Yeah, that's
think.
true.
Well, I don't think she's gonna marry him outright, but I think Euron shows up and says, "Hey, I've switched sides, or here I am to support you." And he's gonna have a much bigger navy, I'm guessing. So, sort of, it gives us like the feeling of a more even battle, even though obviously Daenerys is gonna just
Yeah, because
destroy
I think definitely right now we're seeing like why even bother trying to stand up to Dany's army. Well, so if the Ironborn do come in, maybe it'll seem, yeah, like you said, slightly more fair. I just really want this next book to come out. Like, this is just all I want.
It's just gonna. It's.
And
Do you know? Has there been rumblings of that? I mean,
it was supposed to
is
come
it
out
coming out
last
soon?
year. Then it went
Okay.
to like maybe January. Then it went to like maybe March before, the new season. Then he was like, oh, actually, the season's gonna come out before the book. And we're like, fucking great. So, I mean, we did diverge a good deal from the books, but not enough. Like, if we started next season without the book, then that would be, I'd be, really, really displeased. But, I mean, he does take forever to write these books, so I can't wait forever.
Yeah, you can.
No, I can't. I mean, I can't like not watch next season when it comes out. Like, I can't hold out that long. So we've got a year. He's got a year,
How many more episodes, they
So we'll
say?
see.
13 to 15 more episodes.
Think of
Okay, so we're
Dear
talking about two
God,
mini
help
seasons,
me.
or yeah.
Seems
Yeah.
like it. Yeah, that's a word coming out right now. Hopefully, we get a little bit of an
Yeah,
extension.
I think they
Yeah.
I'd like to get that full 20.
We'll see. I think they said the next season was only going to be like six episodes, like something crazy. Rumors, though. That can't be true. Like, come on, 6 weeks of Game of Thrones? Are you kidding me?
It's gonna be rough going week to week without Game of Thrones now.
Yeah. What are we going to do with our lives now that it's like, there's, it's summer. We can do
Yeah, gear
stuff.
up for the next season, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for jumping in this finale with me. Hopefully, maybe we'll do like in a month or so some like, favorite moments.
Let me know. That'd be great.
Yeah. All
All right.
right. Well, I'll see you guys
All right.
later.